In the name of Jesus, amen. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." Easter evening. Sometimes it's in the evenings that you feel it the most. Even after a glorious Easter morn, even after you put those Easter lilies or those Easter flowers on the windowsill, it is the silence. The silence, though we say at times that it is golden, not always. For this Easter Eve, it breaks one's heart. For as the sun descends in the west, one blankly stares out the window and you realize how alone you really are. How little control you have over your life. And you contemplate your life. You think about all the waters that have flooded over the dam that you call life. Everyone you have failed. Everyone you have hurt. Everything that you have messed up, everything that you have done wrong, every choice you have made wrong, everything that you have lost. And this silence feeds this monster called guilt and regret. And the silence makes your skin crawl, but it does so for a much deeper reason and crisis. For you have been, since the day of your conception, a poor, miserable sinner. Yes, we know the tomb was empty. Peter and John had seen to that. The women said that they saw the risen Jesus. Okay, but what did it mean? What did it all mean for them now and for them later? What were the Romans going to do? What were the Jewish leaders going to do? What should they do? What should they say? The silence perplexed and broke their hearts all at the same time. What could they have done? What should they have done? And what would they do if they could do it all over again? But alas, they could not. And now? Now what? That is the silence and the turmoil when sin reigns. You know, the silence of that stilled garden when Adam and Eve sinned. The silence when Nathan revealed to David that he was the sinner for whom his anger had ran so hot. The silence in Peter's flesh when he denied his Lord after insistently and vehemently saying that he would never deny his Lord. And then he did. And therefore, we are no less guilty than any of these. Flesh of our flesh and bone of our bone. Because of our sin, maybe we silently leave the church because we fearing the exposure of a sin that we believe is unforgivable. Or we feel that it is no longer a sin and we have hard hearts. Or maybe we come to church, we come to Bible study, we come to catechesis, we sit in a pew, we sit in Sunday school, but our hearts and our minds are thousands of miles away. There is no gladly hearing and learning of God's holy word. It is in this silent treatment, in this cold shoulder, in the absence of all communication, in the lack of devoted and expressive love and concern, that relationships are ultimately broken. In churches, in marriages, in friendships, in communities, in all of life. But all the while, this silence feeds this devilish appetite to distort and to blow out of proportion and shade the matter to one's own favor. And that this inward turmoil corrodes us from the inside out. You know that internal dialogue of, I should have done it this way, or I could have done it that way, or I would have done it this way. And then the doubts and the fears and the worry and the shame, it grows. And this anger and this hatred that is directed at others eventually is directed at one's self. And that is the silence and the turmoil when sin reigns. Think about the disciples that Easter Eve. That silence of death. Their Lord had been crucified. The voice of the very Son of God had been silenced. The voice that forgave sins, the voice that had comforted the lonely, the voice that had calmed the storms at sea, the voice that had said, "Follow me," was silent. The voice that taught them with authority, the voice that had raised the dead, was silent. Oh, what these disciples would do to hear it one more time, to have one more chance, to repent of falling asleep when he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane before his great hour, of denying him in the midst of his trial, and then running away like little sheep in fear at his crucifixion. That is the silence when turmoil reigns. But then Jesus, only Jesus, breaks this silence. And he says those simple words, "Peace be with you." He says it twice. And this is no mere just, "Hello, hi, I'm back from the dead," kind of word. No, this is the very word of God that gives peace. It is the peace of sins forgiven. It is the peace of a restored fellowship with God. It is the very peace that the resurrection brings. Because in Jesus, God doesn't stand far off, even in the midst of our sin. In Jesus, God never gives to us or turns to us a cold shoulder. No, he gives us his Father's heart, a forgiving heart, the peace that he obtained through the shedding of his own blood. For he buried our sin and our death in his cross and tomb forever. So now in his resurrection, he speaks peace and hope and life. A peace that no one else and no other thing on this earth can give to you, but he alone. The peace that leads and breaks that inward turmoil by the spoken word that he has called his ordained servants to speak in this place. He calls you in this place by the preaching of the Holy Gospel. That whoever you are, wherever you are, and whatever you've done, peace be with you. Your sins are forgiven. You know that bed of sin that you've made with your life? You're not doomed to lie in it. For Jesus knows that you cannot deal with your own sins. After all, that's why Jesus, the Son of God, was made flesh, was crucified, to resurrect you from the sin and the death that you have buried yourself under, to make new what you could never make new, even if you had a million chances. Easter reminds us that the voice of God cannot remain and does not remain silent. So in his resurrection, he speaks more loudly than ever, to silence our doubts and our fears, to silence our regrets and all of our, "I should have done this, I could have done that, I would have done this." No, he finishes those sentences by saying, "Look, I did. I did it exactly as how my Father willed it to be. And I did not do it for me. I did it for you. I did it to silence all the lies that Satan, your flesh, and the world will try to use against you. No wonder then that the church, having buried her alleluias through the season of Lent and repentance, breaks her silence with so many alleluias during the season of Easter. And from how many mouths and from how many churches around the world is spoken, he is risen indeed, alleluia. Which is exactly how our Lord would have it when he spoke to his disciples and said, look, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone their sins, they are forgiven them. But if you withhold the forgiveness of sins from any, it is withheld. So now pastors who carry out the office of the Holy Keys, as you learn from the small catechism, speak the ministry in this place by doing the very things that the Word of God calls us to do. Baptize, teach, and feed the flock of Jesus with the blood of His Son. Entrusted into our care with His word of peace and forgiveness. That the silence of that sin and that death continue to be broken by this continual voice of life and hope. The voice of those who are born in sin are raised to life through the word and through this holy baptism that uses this word to create us anew. The voice of hope to call us from our sin to repentance and therefore to faith and to speak that forgiveness of sins and holy absolution. And the voice of the one who feeds us by his very body and blood, conquering death and our mortality with a food of immortality. The peace of God is found solely in the sacraments of God. But not only do pastors speak this word of life and hope, as you are all disciples of Jesus in your vocations as it has been given you, you are to take your Lord's peace and forgiveness and speak it into the various places that you live. That which you receive is also that which you give. For to abide in this peace in this fallen life is to inhale the forgiveness of sins and then exhale the forgiveness of sins. To breathe in this way is to instill in all of our vocations, whether as husbands or wives, sons or daughters, students or workers, single people, etc., and all the like, is to speak in such a way that these vocations, though they be beset by sin, might have the comfort of the forgiveness of sins and remain intact. And then Jesus reminds us that the blessed are not simply the small number that actually physically saw him after his resurrection, that saw him when he ascended into heaven. For he says, blessed be those who have not seen and yet have believed. But here's the question, how have they believed? Now, if you're thinking that the word is faith, that would be wrong. It is not faith. The correct answer is the word. For faith needs an object to believe in. You can believe in a lot of things, and people believe in a lot of things. But saving faith is finally attached to the Word of God. The Word of God creates faith by which it trusts the Word of God. And which is that Word of God in this case? Peace be with you. And faith believes that Word. The Word that breaks the silence and the turmoil of our sin. Our Lord's Word of forgiveness and peace. The Word now that comes to you in His body and His blood, into your ears and into your mouths, that you may not be unbelieving, but believing, that you may taste and see that the Lord is good and that you can find refuge in Him all the days of your earthly life. Yes, sometimes for all of us, the evenings are the hardest and we feel it the most, the silence. Even after the glorious Easter morn, even after the Easter lilies and all the flowers brighten our day, and perhaps the weather might become a little warmer. But the silence is only broken by the word, "Peace be with you." This night, the word calms your troubled heart. And as the sun descends in the west into darkness and death, you know that this word shall rise in the east. And the grave of a life buried under sin and failure and regret and remorse is raised in that simple word, "Peace be with you." And you contemplate your life. And you remember that you are never alone. You are never alone because you make the sign of the Holy Cross upon your forehead and upon your heart to mark you as one redeemed by Christ crucified, a child of God. For the word with water that flooded over you made everything new, that holy baptism that you received. And then the silence can no longer feed its appetite of guilt and regret and all of those other things that Satan seeks to carry out. For in this baptism reveals to you a much deeper promise that you have been since the day of your birth into Christ, a new creation, a forgiven and sainted creature of God. The old is gone, the new has come. And what is that new thing that has come? The resurrection of the dead and the life of the world has come. The new heavens and the new earth has come. For Easter breaks the silence as the word speaks to you. Peace be with you. In the name of Jesus, amen.